Okay, yesterday we left off with the Gemara asking the question in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah makes the statement, "Hamarzev eino chazaka v'yishtim komo chazaka," the marzev, the leader out of the gutters, does not have a chazaka, but its placement does have a chazaka. So we had three Amoraim explaining what that meant in the Mishnah, or how to explain that in the Mishnah. So the first one was reviewed on Shmuel, who said that the marzev doesn't have a chazaka meruach chachat. So we saw a number of explanations about this, but that the leader itself does not have a chazakah, but the fact that there is a leader does have a chazakah. So the placement of the leader may not have a chazakah, but the fact that there must be a leader somewhere over here does have a chazakah. That was the first answer. Rabbi Chanina, the second answer, said that Marzev in the chazakah means that if it was long, the length of the leader, how far it goes into the other property, does not have a chazakah. But the placement of the leader, the fact that there is a leader here and it's placed there, that does have a chazakah. And the last was Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, who said that the leader does not have a chazakah to prevent the owner of the chatzir from building under it. In that when he granted him rights, when he granted his neighbor rights to have the leader pour the water into the chatzir, he granted him rights for the airspace to allow the water to flow in or the leader to go in, but he didn't grant him rights that he can't build under it, so that he can do. So he's allowed to build under it, but aim lemakamo chazaka means that he can't build up to the point where he removes the leader. So those are the three answers that we saw yesterday from the Amoraim. So the Gemara on the top of Nuntet asks, Tanan, amazchila yeshlo chazaka. On the other hand, a gutter does have a chazaka. Bishlam alaman damar anachtarte shapir. According to two of the answers we gave for the Amoraim, that works well. What's the difference? Meaning that if the issue of establishing chazakah over here is building below the item, then why should the individual who has a gutter running along his roof care whether you build something underneath it or not? Meaning the gutter is simply there to catch the water off the roof, and then it pours it towards the leader, and the leader takes the water off. So if you go ahead and your gutter is hanging over your friend's property and he builds underneath your gutter, why should you mind whatsoever? Why should you care? We're dealing with not a gutter like we think of, where it's attached to the edge of the roof, right? The end of the roof, there's a gutter that catches the water. But rather, this is a gutter, a freestanding gutter. Freestanding gutter, which has a building, meaning a wall. And on top of the wall is a gutter that runs the water. The water is flowing on the top of the wall. Therefore, it's not simply hanging over, but there's actually a structure that holds up the gutter. So the reason that he can object over here to the building of the item below, or the reason that the mazchila has, or the gutter has a chazakah, is because it's a freestanding gutter with a wall. On top of the wall is placed a gutter. You come along now and built adjacent to that wall, right next to the gutter, what you're going to cause is, right, the gutter to lose its integrity because it's on a wall. And so there he can object to your building adjacent to the wall. Once you've given the right to place the gutter there, he can now object to your building something adjacent to that wall because you're going to affect his gutter by weakening the wall that supports the gutter. So now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tzinor HaMekaleach Maim L'Chatzer Chavero, so far we've only spoken from the side of the individual who owns the house or the roof with the gutter and the leaders. So now he has rights to place his gutter there once he's been there for 3 years and had permission. He has a right to put his leaders here, which means he can dump the water into his friend's chatzer. But what about the bala chatzer? The bala chatzer gave him permission to do that. But does he have any rights? Now what? He's come to depend on the water that comes out of the gutter or the leader. Now he put a nice cistern there, he put a pool there to collect the water. All of a sudden the balagag, the owner of the roof, decides, you know what? I want to move the water somewhere else. I'd rather have the water go into my yard or into another location. Does the balachatzer now, has he earned some rights where he can now object to the bal, the owner of the gutter, and the leaders from switching off? So that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says. Tzinor HaMakleach Mayim L'Chatzer. If you have a pipe that's pouring water into Chatzer Chaviro, Ubab Alagag L'Sotmo, and the owner of the roof wants to seal up the gutter or move the leader to another direction, Balach Chatzer Ma'akev Alav, He also has rights. The Baal Chatzer now has rights to the fact that you're pouring water into his Chatzer and he's using that water. So just like you acquired the right, you know, through me giving you permission and being there for 3 years, you've acquired the right to dump your water in my Chatzer. I also won the right to get the water from your roof. Right? This is a symbiotic relationship. And so there, both of us have rights. Each one of us has rights to what we permitted here. It's Itmar. Rabbi Yoshi Amar, Ma'akev. Rabbi Chama Amar, Enu Ma'akev. Rabbi Yoshi says that he's Ma'akev. You're allowed to stop the individual from moving his leader or his water away from your chatzer. Rabbi Chama, we were going to see in a second, is his father says, Enu Ma'akev. Says you're not allowed to stop him. Yet the Baal HaGad can take his water wherever he wants. Azal Shaila to Rabbi Bisa. They went and asked the Shaila to Rabbi Bisa. Rabbi Bisa was Rabbi Chama's father and Rabbi Oshia's grandfather. Amalum, Me'akev, passed him like the grandson. Rabbi Bisa passed him like his grandson against his son. Kariyalei Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama said about them, Vachut Hameshulash Lobi Meira Yinatik. Right, a three ply rope does not break easily. Zeh Rabbi Yosha ben Osher, Rabbi Chama ben Osher, Rabbi Bisa. Referred to these three individuals who are Talmid Chachamim. We saw this here earlier. Also that the bracha is that once you have three generations of Torah, Rabbi Pizera, Mibir Zeracha, Mizer Zeracha, Miatavi Adulam. And once it reaches three generations, then Torah, Machzer Tachachsan Yishalo, that we assume the Torah will stay within the family at that point in time. So Tosfos asks the obvious question, which is that we have many places where we have three generations of Talmidei Chachamim. Why all of a sudden over here do they point out these three generations and call it the Chut Mishalash, Lo Bimeira Yinatek? It says that they were unusual, that they all lived together. They all saw each other and lived together and learned Torah together. That was what is unusual about these three individuals, and that's why Rabbi Bracham over here applies Chut Mishalash, Lo Bimeira Yinatek to these three individuals. Right, Sulam HaMitzri and Lo Chazaka. We saw in the Mishnah that a Sulam HaMitzri, which is a smaller ladder, if you place it in your friend's yard to use to get onto your roof, to get up to your shovach, that doesn't establish a Chazaka because it's not a Davar Shel Kviut. It's not a permanent fixture. Eichidami Sulam HaMitzri. What's the definition of a Sulam HaMitzri? What makes it a small ladder? Amrei Debei Rabban Haikosha Ein Loch Arba Chavakim. Anything that doesn't have four rungs on it. So four rungs is the definition of when it becomes permanent fixture versus a temporary fixture. Chalon mitzrit ein lo chazaka. Comes to the window of a mitzrit, again, this is a small window. There is no chazaka because it's small, as opposed to a chalon tzuri, which is a permanent fixture in the size, it's a large window. So, maishna gabi sulam delo mefaresh. Maishna gabi chalon de mefaresh. Why by the ladder, when it says a mitzri ladder versus a tzuri ladder, one is a temporary and one is a permanent fixture, and they therefore one establishes a chazakah, one does not. Why there is the mishnah not define the size of a sulam mitzri? Because when it comes to the windows, the mishnah goes out of its way to explain what a chalon mitzri is. It says a chalon mitzri, what's the size? Anything that your head can't fit into. If your head fits into it, it's a chalon mitzri. If it's a chalon mitzri, it's your head can't fit. Why does the mishnah give definition to that? So Gemara says, "Mishum tekabai yifluge Rabbi Yehuda b'seifa," because you have Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah who argues about the window and says, even when it's a chalon mitzri, where it's small, still if you frame out the window, that's enough to make it into a permanent fixture. I'm Rabbi Zera. Mata midaled amot yesh lo chazaka yechol limchot. Becomes to less than 4 amot, below 4 amot, then the placement of a window there has a chazakah. And the individual whose chatzer the window is being opened up into, or against whose home the window is being opened up to, he can object to the placement of such a window, because that compromises his tznius, compromises his ability to have privacy, whether it's in his yard or in his house. So, whereas if it's higher than 4 amot in this individual's house, he places the window, ain't no chazakah, that doesn't establish a chazakah, ve'ain no yachol imchot. And the other individual cannot object. Why? Because there's no problem of tznius anymore. Above 4 amot, nobody can get up there, right? That's too high. Since it's too high, that does not compromise in your yard or your house, the individual, he's not going to go climb up the wall to look into your property. Right? So since it's so high, the window, that doesn't compromise your privacy. If it doesn't do that, you can't object. On the other hand, Rabbi Law says, above 4 amot, correct, does not establish a chazakah. Again, it doesn't establish a chazakah because there's no reason for him to mukha. But he has the ability to object to you put such a window there. Let us say that the difference between Rabbi Yula over here and Rabbi Zeira is whether we're kofin on midat stone. What's midat stone? One gets the benefit, the other one doesn't lose. That's our case here. A window above 4 amot. It's good for the individual who puts the window in. And it's not to the detriment of the party on the other side of the window. So why not say that he could put the window in? So that's the machlokas here maybe. The kofin on midat stone. Do we force you, when it comes to zeh neneh v'zeh lo chaseh, do we force you to acquiesce in such a situation? Rabbi Zeira will say yes. Rabbi Law will say no. The Mar says kofin and Mar says inkofin. The Mar says lo. To kuli yama kofin. Everybody agrees when it comes to zeh neneh v'zeh lo chaseh, we impose on the individual to go ahead and acquiesce to the situation because there's no loss to him. Shani Hocha. What is the machokas between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Law? Tamalei zimnin dumataft shashifa tutach. Sometimes you're going to have a step stool. A step stool, maybe you'll climb up the step stool to do something and you'll take a peek through the window. If you take a peek through the window, now I've lost my privacy. So that, because of that possibility, then there isn't zenen as lo chaser. There is a chaser here because there is a possibility of my privacy being compromised by the fact that you have a step stool or a footstool that is there. And you step onto it, and then you're able to look into my property. Obviously, Rabbi Zeira will say that's not something that's a frequent occurrence. That's something that happens in right infrequent circumstances, and therefore it's not right a compromisation of your privacy over here. So, how about the kamei de Rabbi Ami? Someone came with a case like this before Rabbi Ami. Shadre the kamei de Rabbi Abba bar Mamel. Sent them to get a psak from Rabbi Abba Malay, Ovid like Rabbi Law, Paskin like Rabbi Law, that there is no chazakah, plus Yocholim Chot, you're allowed to object. Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel qualifies this whole situation in our Mishnah and says, Ula Ora Afilu Koshu. When it comes for light, even the smallest window, Yesh lo chazakah. When it comes to light, you do not need a large vision, visible window or window that allows you to see through. Because the only purpose of the window is to let light in. So first of all, any size when it comes to light will be sufficient to be called a window. And number two is once you've opened the window for light, that's a permanent fixture. You open up a window, which we said in the Mishnah, to look out, to look at your fields, that could change. Your fields could move, you may not need that. You change properties, you moved your house, then you don't need the window anymore. When it comes to light, light is a permanent need of the house. To have light in the house, something that won't go away. That is kvius over here. And therefore, a chalon that's made for light is milso de kviusa. If it's milso de kviusa, it establishes a chazakah. It's been there for 3 years. And you can't object after that point in time. On the other hand, what's the story in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah differentiates between a big window, a small window, all these cases. Our Mishnah is talking a case when it's not for light. The window in our Mishnah is a case where it's for a lookout or some sort of other usage other than for light. And that's why our Mishnah differentiates between Chalon HaMitzri, Chalon HaTzuri, and we also just had the differentiation of Rabbi Zeira above 4 amot and below 4 amot, because all these items are relevant when it comes to lookouts or visibility. It's not relevant when it comes to light. When it comes to light, all of these windows will suffice and all of them will be permanent fixtures. Right now, the Mishnah says, Aziz ad tefach. Yesh lo chazaka. Yachol limchot. Pachol mi tefach. It's less than a tefach. Ein lo chazaka ve'ein yachol limchot. So Aziz is some sort of platform or object that protrudes out of a wall. You have a wall, whether it's of your house, a wall of a chatzer, and out of that wall projects some sort of either platform or, block. If it's more than a tefach or more, you have a right then, if it's been there for 3 years, to establish a chazakah and say that I was granted rights to use this, and therefore you can't remove me from it. If it's less than a tefach, right, you can't claim a chazakah, because it's something that people do not object to. So again, because there's a demand to object when it's more than a tefach, because that's something that imposes on the other person's usage of his property. Therefore, it's been there 3 years, you can establish a chazakah. And number two is, he's allowed to object to you putting it there. Why? Because if you put it there, you're going to establish a chazakah, so can he object to that? Whereas if it's less than a tefach, since it does not affect the usage of the property below, therefore it doesn't establish a chazakah, because there's no need for him to be mochet. And therefore, if he wants to remove it, or do something to cause the ziz no longer to be usable, he's allowed to do that, because there's no chazakah here. On the other hand, he can't object to you using the ziz, it's less than a tefach, because his using less than a tefach does not demand that you object. And you don't have any loss here. It's something that's less than a measurement that would bother someone. So Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Mani, Vami Lo, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Mani, Exik B'Tefach, Exik B'Dalad. He took control of one tefach, he takes control of four tefachim. It says, Mike Amar, it's totally a logical statement. Just because you got the usage rights of a protrusion into your friend's property for a tefach, why should that allow you to go four tefachim into your friend's property? Doesn't make any sense. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yachi Kamar." It says, "This is what it means." Hechzik rochav tefach b'meshach arba, hechzik b'rochav arba. So actually, the grammar here does not seem necessarily correct. But if he took a width, this protrusion, let's call it a plank or some sort of some sort of platform. So the platform now extends four tefachim into your friend's property, but it's only one tefach wide. So along comes Rabbi Manian tells us that by the fact that it's four tefachim protrusion into your friend's property and a tefach wide entitles you to a full four tefachim of width. Why is that? Because the significance of four tefachim we know from Hilchos Shabbos, from other areas, that 4x4 tefachim, right, is considered a reshut that is significant. Therefore, if the Bala Chatzer, the Bala Bayit on the other side, granted you rights to extend 4 tefachim in his property, it's obvious that he extended you now an area that is going to be of significance. So the fact that he extended you 4 tefachim means also granted you 4 tefachim wide. Not simply, so even if you only have a tefach wide now, you're allowed to extend to 4 tefachim wide. As opposed to, for instance, a situation where he granted you 10 tefachim into his property. If he grants you 10 tefachim into his property, he still only grants you 4 tefachim wide. On the other hand, if he only grants you 3 tefachim into his property, then whatever the width of that protrusion is, that's what you get, and you get no more. So only this is a case where your 4 tefachim, because he granted you a significant grant into the property, therefore we allow you to expand the 4 tefachim to get that 4x4 platform over here. The problem is, or the grammatical problem is, that the Gemara uses the term arba, right, which is, should read, hechzik rochav tefach v'meshach arba'a tefachim, according to this, right, as opposed to arba, which is arba amot. So that's the issue, but the way the Rashbam reads it, it's really that it's talking about tefachim and not amot. All right. Next part of the Mishnah. Pachol mitevach eno chazaka v'eno yachol imchot. Am Rav Huna, lo shanu el bala gag b'bala chatzer. That the objection that we're talking about over here, or the statement, refers to the roof owner, right? But not towards, or his approach towards the bala chatzer. Bala chatzer b'bala gag yachol imchot. The other way around, the bala chatzer can object over here. So the rights that are established over here by the balagag for pachol mitefach, he does not have a chazakah, and he cannot object. But when it comes to the balachatzer, by the balagag, he's allowed to object. You're not allowed to object. So the fact is that the balagag, right, can go ahead and place such an item in there. Beinu yachol imchot is that he can't stop the balachatzer from using it. If the Baal Chatzer wants to go ahead and hang things on this protrusion, the Baal Gag cannot stop him. On the other hand, The Baruch Hatzir of Zel could stop the Balagag from using this protrusion, even though it's less than a tefach. Yehuda says he can't stop him. So Lema beHezekriya kamayflagay. That's it. They're arguing about Hezekriya. Why are they arguing about Hezekriya? Because the question is, if the upper individual, the Balagag, wants to use this protrusion, once he's using the protrusion, he can now glance or glimpse into his friend's property below. That's Hezekriya. Right, it's a intrusion into my privacy. So we'll say the Rabbi Rav Huna believes that your usage of the ziz, of this protrusion, even though it's less than a tefach by the Balagag, right, is a violation of my privacy. Being a violation of my privacy, I have a right to object over here, because that's Hezekriya. On the other hand, Yehuda believes, true, it's an invasion of property, but Hezekriya is not something you're allowed to object to. It's not your right that's granted to you as Balach Hatzir. Mar Sabah Shmeyazik, Mar Sabah Lo Shmeyazik. He says, lo, it's Kuli Alma Shmeyazik. Everybody agrees that vision or the visibility of the other party, which is an invasion of my privacy, is real Hezek, and you can object. Shani Acha, Tamerlei La Tashmishta Lo Chazi. He says, it's not useful to walk out on or to climb onto. It's too small. What can you use such a protrusion for? He says, to hang things on it. So he says, listen, to hang things on it, I'm not going to be looking down. I'll turn my face away, I'll hang things on there, but I won't look. And I'll hang things there. And if I do look, and you notice that I'm looking, is the Rishonim call here is they'd be tafas kiganav. Be like a thief. Since I don't have the right to look, and I am looking, as soon as you see me looking, you're going to say, ah, see, you're looking in, you're invading my privacy, I'll catch you. Because you will catch me, I will be afraid to look, because if you see me, I'll back away. So sometimes when he leans out to put the ace, the item on the protrusion, he's going to be scared to fall. Since he's scared to fall, he's going to say, I looked because I was afraid I was going to fall. So since you have an excuse for looking, therefore when I catch you looking, even though you were looking not because you were afraid, but because you wanted to look into my chatzer, you're going to just say, I was afraid to fall, I looked in for the last second. I really wasn't looking. Since you have an excuse now, that's a violation of my privacy, because if I catch you, it won't make you feel embarrassed. If it doesn't make you feel embarrassed, you're going to look. So the machlokus here is whether the fear of falling over is significant enough to give him an excuse to say, I'm looking not because I want to see you, but because I was going to fall. But nevertheless, that'll grant him, in a sense, a right, in quotes, to look into the property, because he always has an excuse to look in. The other party says, no, that's an unusual thing that he won't. Normally, he will feel uncomfortable about looking in. If he feels uncomfortable about looking in, he won't look in. So that'll be their machlokes over here. Next Mishnah. Person may not open up windows to a property that is belongs to shutfim, to partners. And the question of who does it belong to, whereas which partners we're talking about here, obviously, machokas rashbam and tosfot, the way we'll read it is simply, he is a partner in that property. He's a partner in the property, he owns part of that chatzer, and now wants to open up windows from a house that he bought into that chatzer. He's not allowed to do that. If he buys a house in a different chatzer, a different courtyard, can't open a passageway or a doorway into this chatzer shutfim. Again, sounds like a chatzer that he also owns a piece of the property in. So for instance, you live in a courtyard, and then you buy a house in the adjacent courtyard. The house in the adjacent courtyard abuts this chatzer as well. Since it abuts the chatzer, you say, let me open up a door into the first chatzer. I own the chatzer, a piece of the chatzer anyway. Let me open up a door. The Mishnah says no. If you built an extension on the house, an attic on the house, you may not grant a separate entrance to that aliyah into the chatzer. You can build a room inside of your house. Or you build an attic above your house, and you open it up into the house. So the Gemara will explain what the difference between these two solutions is. Gemara, my area, the chatzer shutfin. Why does the Mishnah mention that you can't open up your windows to Chatzer Shutfin? What's the problem of opening up windows into a Chatzer? It's an invasion of privacy. Why does it matter that there's Shutfin in there anyway? Again, the Machlokes bin Rashbam over here and the Tosvot at this point in time is the Chatzer Shutfin simply that there are multiple owners into this Chatzer already? Or is it that I already own, the one who wants to open the window also owns rights or has rights to that Chatzer? Why? Afilu Chatzer Chavero, Namilo. Opening up a window into your friend's property is also a problem. Even if there's a single owner of the Chatzer or the Bayit across from you, opening up a window is a violation of that individual's privacy. So why does the Mishnah go out of its way to say there are multiple owners of the Chatzer? Even a single owner of the Chatzer would cause a problem here. It says, Lo mi bayi kama. The Mishnah is giving us a bigger chiddush. Lo mi bayi lechatzer chaveiro dulo. Aval lechatzer shvutvin. So you would say, oh, I can't open up a window into my friend's private yard. Why? Because I'm violating his privacy. But when it comes to chatzer shvutvin, then my sof, hakabayit nitztunim inai. Bechatzer. You still have to hide from me in the chatzer. So hide from me sounds like he has ownership in the property, which is Tosfos points out. But sounds like, he says, listen, you can't do private things in the Chatzer because we already joint owners. There are multiple people in the Chatzer. So if there are multiple people in the Chatzer, what do you care if I open up a window now? What, you have to hide from me and me looking in by my window? You had to do that before anyway. I could walk into the Chatzer anytime. Right? There's no privacy. It was a, right, it's a quote-unquote Reshut HaRabim, which is the problem that it poses on Shabbos, why you have to make a Erev Chatzerot. In that it's a... It's not a public thoroughfare, but it's a property that is jointly owned by a number of people, so they're going to fly through there. Kamash Malon says no. Why? Before, only had to worry about you in the chatzer. Now I also have to worry about you in the house. So Rashbam brings two ways to learn what the problem is. One is that the petach now goes out into the area of the chatzer, and now I have to worry. Before, our doors were not opposite each other, and the chatzer, right? I was worried about you in the chatzer itself. But once you were in your house, I didn't have to worry about you looking across at my house. Why? Your door is not opposite my door. You don't have any windows that look into the chatzer into my house. Right? I don't have to worry about you anymore. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that if beforehand, I just want to read it for you over here. Beforehand, I used to work in the chatzer. I didn't have to worry about you looking through your door at me. But if I was in my house, I didn't have to worry about you. As opposed to what they do in Israel today, there they did not make Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael. They write the bracha or the praise that Bilam gives to Klai Yisrael, so that their twin doors were not opposite each other. So do right over here. They did not build doors opposite doors, and not like the du mishpachti situations today, where they each next unit have door to door looking at each other. Now in my house, I have to worry about you. Because now you look at me through your windows. Sheng vote, because they're higher up. Inami. Hashem says the other explanations. Ada inavid b'chatzer b'inan etzruminach ki ava b'bayit lo b'inan etzruminach. Before, when you were in the chatzer, I had to worry about you. But when you went into your house, I didn't have to worry about it. Hashta afil kishada b'bayit b'inan etzruminach. Now when you're in the house, I have to worry about you in the chatzer. I have to worry about myself in the chatzer. So before, when I was in the chatzer, you were in your house, I said I don't have to worry. Or you were outside the property, I didn't have to worry. Now, only when you were in the chatzer did I have to worry. But now, even when you're in your house, I have to worry about the chatzer. I get no time where I have privacy in the chatzer. I have no private moments in the chatzer. So Rashbam says it's one of those two. Either the claim that I have no privacy in the chatzer, now because you can look in any time, even when you're in your house, or the other possibility is that you're infringing upon my rights in my own house. That you can look into my house now through your windows. Before, the doors weren't aligned before. And from the chatzer, you can't see into my house. So now, when you put in a chalot, all of a sudden you can look into my house. Those are questions, that explanation of the Rashbam. He says, why not? Why don't you just say the same thing? Just like they didn't build doors opposite each other, they didn't build windows opposite each other. Just say, I didn't put the window opposite your window. So that's why Tosfos does not necessarily like that explanation of the Rashba. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Masa Batam Echad Shepatach Chalunav L'Chatzer Shutfin. He opened up the windows into Chatzer Shutfin. Balifnei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Went before Rabbi Shmuel Yossi asked Kotzal Chalcha. They wanted to know if they could stop him from putting in the windows. Amalo, Exacta Bini Exacta. Said, you made a Chazakah. Now, if you remember earlier on in the Masechta, the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda about what's the reason that it takes 3 years to have a chazakah. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, because it takes 1 year to travel, 1 year to come back, and I'm sorry, 1 year to be machzik, 1 year to travel to Asfamia, 1 year to come back. Over there, he said that Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that a chazakah can be established in 1 day. As soon as you use something and the person does not object, chazakah established. Over there, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi have the same opinion, that a chazakah can be established in 1 day. This is the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Over here, Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, as soon as he opened up his window, he made a chazakah, established a chazakah. He says, chazakah bini chazakah. If he did not object, the moment you open up the window, you now have a chazakah and you keep your window there. V'alifnei Rabbi Chia. Afterwards, he went to Rabbi Chia to ask for another psak. He was shopping the psak, right? Amar yagata upatachta. He says, you worked hard to open up a window. Lech yaga v'satum. Go work and seal it up. Because obviously, what is he? Believe you need a chazakah, it's not established till 3 years. So you don't have a chazakah over here. Avraham of Nachman, v'listom la'altar abi chazakah. She'ein adam asui, she'sutmim oto b'fanav shotek. Nizakin, right. Right, so we quaver. If you remember over there, the Gemara gave two answers about when the Chazak and Nizakim. One of the answers, that's the Gemara the Gemara gives earlier on, I think, on Chafei, is that it only applies to things that are extreme forms of Nezek. Only forms of bathrooms and smoke, which are a type of smell or offense that is so great. Over there, we say that you can't establish a Chazakah because the person thought he could be so vel, such a item, and when he doesn't.
Right.
There he can attract it. Right. So that's what we mean, ein chazakah l'nizakin. But another nizakin, it sounds like, right, that you do not have such a ability to reverse your opinion.
Although there are Rishonim who agree with your position and do suggest that Rav Chia's argument over here is exactly that point, that this is just like smoke in a bathroom, and therefore there is ein, over here there is ein chazakah l'nizakin, and not that it's an issue of 1 day versus 3 years.
Now, what is it? Where we had the Rav Nachman comes on and says, "Listom la'alter abi chazakah." If you seal up somebody's window, then it's automatically a chazakah if he doesn't object. Why? Because the person doesn't allow people to shut down his light and be quiet. So what happens here? The person has a window going to the chatzer, a window that's out there. You had to build a wall or a house right in front of his window. So if he doesn't come day one and say, "Excuse me, what are you doing here? That's blocking the light coming into my house." There's a chazakah established, even Rav Nachman, even according to Rav Chia and I, who hold that it's a 3 years to establish a chazakah, this type of situation, immediate chazakah. Because it's so offensive, it's so problematic that he does it, nobody stands idly by. If you're not mocheh, that means he must have granted him a right. Must have been that you gave him permission, otherwise you would not walk, let him just go do this without any objection. And now, lakach bayit b'chatzer acheret, lo yivtechen el chatzer shutfin. What the Gemara wants to know, the basic problem here, is what's the difference between the Mesha of the Mishnah and the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Mishnah says you can build an aliyah, put a cheder in the house. As long as you open it up into the house, no problem. If you open it up a separate entrance into the chatzer, all of a sudden it's a problem. Why is that? What's the problem of opening up an additional entrance into the chatzer? The people in the chatzer say, now, right, marbelach, marbeleinu diurim. You're increasing the traffic that's going to go through the chatzer now. When you open up a new entrance into the chatzer for your attic or for your extension in your house, what are you going to do? You're going to rent it out to new people. So now you're going to, by doing that, you're going to increase the number of people living in this courtyard, and that's going to increase the foot traffic. So what does the Gemara say? Okay, if he splits his house in half, or he splits the aliyah inside the house and opens it into the house, okay, now he could put more people in there too. Why doesn't that increase the foot traffic over here? Why is that not problematic? So that's what the Gemara wants to know. My time up. What's the reason you're not allowed to open up a door into that area? You're increasing the foot traffic over here. I mean, increasing the number of people are going to enter over here You have to cause me to walk around these people, to move around. I won't be able to use the chatzir like I did before. What about the end of the Mishnah? Why doesn't that create the same exact problem? Here he can now rent that out or put more people in his house than he had before. Right? The quantity of people could be increased as long as you have more space in your house. So Gemara says, no. Amravuna, my cheder, shechalko, l'shnayim, my aliyah, aftai. So he says over here, no, that the difference between the ratio and the seifa is, the ratio is that he makes an addition on the house. He puts an aliyah on top of the house. He puts an extension, a new room onto the back of the house. That's not allowed, and then you can't enter or make an extra entrance in the house. But over here, what we're talking about, here's a case, and there you won't be able to make an entrance through the house or into the chatzer. Our case over here is where he takes an existing room, divides it in half. Takes the existing house with high ceilings and makes it into an aliyah and a lower part. Why? Because you as an owner of a house have a right to bring in as many guests as you want into your house. So over here, when you take a room and split it in half, you haven't increased the square meterage of the house. All you've done is make it more functional. So in that case, we don't say to you, you can't put it into the house. There, if you put a separate entrance, we worry about it. Why? Because a separate entrance is going to allow you to put new people in there. If it's the same entrance into your house, then you have increased the number of people that you could technically have gotten before. Because beforehand, you could have put as many guests as you wanted to your house. Now you could also put the same number of guests in your house, having the room be two rooms instead of one room. Right, we'll stop over there here.